Our reading this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 12. The final instructions. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much.
Let's pray.
Father God, as we study your word, would you send your spirit upon us? May it illuminate our understanding of what you call us to do. May our lives reflect that love and that instruction, and in that, may we grow your kingdom and share the good news of Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. As the detective began to leave the room, having confronted the prime suspect, he almost got to the door before he turned back, face scrunched up, trademark cigar in hand. He grimaced as he said, "Just one more thing." And you knew that whatever Columbo asked next was going to be the crucial detail which would unlock the whole of the case. Those four words became Columbo's catchphrase, finding their way into the vast majority of the episodes of the show. They even began to shape the actor's life, as it's the only thing people would say to him on the streets. And Peter Falk decided that he had to call his autobiography, "Just One More Thing." As we come to the end of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, that's what we have left to explore. Paul's "Just One More Thing," as he closes out his letter. The last couple of paragraphs offer a lot of ideas, but we need to remember that these words come following on from what he has written previously. John helped us last week, didn't he, as we explored what Paul had written about the resurrection and Christ's return. The tone of Paul's letter is shaped by this. There is an urgency, there is a purpose as he writes. Paul is trying to get the Thessalonians to live in the light of these things, and light is the key word. Paul reminds them and us that we are children of light and children of the day, and that we should live in a way that lets this identity shine out of us. His closing remarks are almost offering a manifesto of what it might look like to live this way. We can pull out two lists of behaviors: the do's and the don'ts. Don't be idle and disruptive. Don't pay back wrong for wrong. And don't treat prophecies with contempt. Do work hard. Admonish one another. Do hold those who serve you in the highest regard. Do live in peace. Do encourage the disheartened. Do help the weak. Do be patient. Do rejoice always. Do pray continually. Do give thanks in all circumstances. Do reject every kind of evil. It's quite a list, isn't it? I don't think any one thing on that list comes with us any great surprise. For each of the different things on their own, I think all of us would say, yeah, I agree that that is how we should live. But it's the more and more and more that is hard for us. It's our weakness that makes it difficult to follow these things. And maybe it's the modulating words that are hard. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Reject every kind of evil. Always. Continually. In every circumstance. Every. So what's going on? It feels like Paul might be setting us up to fail, offering such a comprehensive list that surely we can only fall short of what it invites us to do. Is Paul a person who tries to motivate us by setting little achievable goals? Or is Paul trying to motivate us with impossible targets? I worry that the list feels like the second one of those. I can rejoice, but not before my morning coffee. I can pray, but I get distracted about what it is I think I have to do next. I can give thanks, but when times are hard, when the brokenness of the world makes me want to weep, it can be hard to find the words to whisper even the smallest of thanksgivings. It feels like a bar so high that only an Olympic pole vaulter would get over it. It feels like a bar so high that you would have to fly to get close. It feels a bar so high that maybe only Jesus would pass it. Only Jesus could live like that. And that's when we might begin to understand. Because what's the language that Paul uses for us as we try and step into this lifestyle? May God himself sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. This list, those words, are probably too high for us, too much for us. But you see, they don't describe us. They describe someone else. They describe Jesus. For he alone rejoices always, prays continually, gives thanks in all circumstances, and rejects every kind of evil. So perhaps we can try and be like him. Let's rewind for a moment to Old Testament times, where we find lists of these kinds of behaviors, like the law in the Old Testament. These are requirements that are so stringent that they are basically impossible to keep. Lists like that were common not just in Israel, but also in the nations that surrounded them. One of the functions of these lists of behaviors was not just to tell you how to live, but to tell you about the rulers of the kingdoms who brought about these lists and these laws. The Deuteronomic law that we find in the Old Testament is supposed to tell us about God as much as it is an instruction about how we are to live. That is what God is like. And here, Paul is telling us what Jesus is like in how he describes the behavior that we're supposed to exhibit. The verb that Paul uses for the process is translated into English as to sanctify us. May God sanctify us. You see, we're made to be holy. That's how Paul thinks this is going to work. And as we are made to be more holy by God, who is it that we become more like? Well, we become more like Jesus. And we've heard about Jesus. And we know what Jesus is like, and we want to be like him. But Paul has just one more thing. How? How can we live that way? Well, like the conversations between prime suspect and detective in Columbo, Paul has given us the right pieces of information that will help us to solve the whole case. We just need to go back and pay attention to what Paul has already told us. The first way which we will be able to start to live up to the standard that Paul challenges us to is that the work is not ours, but God's. The process that Paul has described is sanctification, and it's the way in which God will change us to become more like him. If we think back a few weeks to 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12, we read this. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God and the Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with all his holy ones. So the Lord will make our love for one another increase. The Lord will strengthen our hearts to be blameless. And if we are to follow the list of behaviors that Paul has challenged us with, then we need that work to be done by God. But the good news is that Paul encourages us that God wants to do this. Remember 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. God wants to do this work in each of us. He wants us to be challenged and changed and transformed. He desires this for us and will do that work if we submit to him and allow that change to take place in our hearts. But there are moments when we can find it hard to say yes for that change to happen on our own. But sisters and brothers in Christ, there is good news for us here too. Because God did not call us to be on our own in being his children. He called us to be together. He called us to this life and task as his people. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11, just before what we heard today, says this. Encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. You see, as Paul hears about the church in Thessalonica, he is encouraged that they are already helping one another to become more holy, to become more fully committed to living their lives to copy Jesus. But we're going to look a little bit further in the letter as well, right back to where Paul opened his missive. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2 says this, we always give thanks for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to list all the ways in which he sees the sisters and brothers in Christ in Thessalonica living out their faith together. It is a church that has become well known for how they live, even in the face of opposition and suffering. The sisters and brothers in Thessalonica strive to be holy, to stand out from the culture around them as faithful Christians. I wonder what we want to be known as a church. I think it's true to say that we want to be known for our hospitality and for our welcome. We want to be known as a friendly church where people are welcomed in and pleased to be encouraged by being here. And I think we do offer that gift. But I wonder if we want to be known for that harder thing as well. Do we want to be known for our faithfulness and for our holiness? Do we want to be known as a community who live out their faith and stand apart from the world around us? Because that is the challenge that Paul offers us in this letter. We should strive to be sanctified, to be faithful and holy in how we live, because when we exhibit this behavior, we show the world what Jesus is like. And when we show the world what Jesus is like, they will learn that he is a savior of grace and love and kindness and compassion and hope and truth and beauty. And when they see that, then they will want to follow him. they will want to call Jesus their Saviour as well, because they will want to be like him too. But friends, we're not called to this life, to this way of life alone. But as the people of God, as sisters and brothers trying to live like Jesus, strengthened by the Spirit to live like Jesus. And as we live like Jesus, we are growing the kingdom of God. I hope that in this journey we've taken through 1 Thessalonians, you feel inspired. I hope that this way of living and being as a church seems exciting, even if it is daunting. But there is a risk that we still feel overwhelmed. That the height of Paul's ambition for us to be like Jesus feels just a little bit out of our reach. But as I draw things together, I want to offer you a couple of simple steps to follow. When we're faced with tasks that seem massive, many of us don't know where to begin. And the risk here is that we can give up before we get very far. So I want to break this down into just 2 tasks. Firstly, take some time to look back. That's what Paul did at the beginning of his letter. Don't look for evidence of living a holy life by looking forwards, but by looking back. How are you already living this out? Have you ever rejoiced or prayed or given thanks? If you have, and I'm pretty sure that you all have, then you've already started this journey. How is your Christian life different now to how it has been in the past? How has God already changed you? You see, trying to live a life of faith can feel like a mountain. We spend our whole time worrying that the peak seems so far away that we never turn around and appreciate the view behind us. We forget to look where we've come from. If you struggle to rejoice or give thanks looking forwards, then look back. Begin your rejoicing and thanksgiving retrospectively. If you start by looking after that, then you will notice that the future will begin to change itself. How are you different today to how you used to be? Secondly, try to transform the small things. Nathan often comes to me and asks me how I got so good at different things. And I tell him the same thing every single time he asks. The reason I am good at this or that is simply because I practiced. I worked hard, and over time, all of that hard work builds into me being better at the thing today than I used to be. Now, I'm fairly certain that this is an annoying piece of dad advice, but I keep saying it to him because it's true. Hard work and constantly practicing the things we want to get better at does make us better in the long run. There is an adage amongst musicians that practice makes perfect. But I like the fact that there are musicians today challenging that idea. They don't say that practice makes perfect. They say that practice makes progress. If you struggle with the words always, continually, and in every circumstance, then don't start by trying to do that. Focus instead on the smaller things. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, and reject evil. I'm not saying that this is always easy, but if you keep trying to do it every single day, then when you look back again in a few years' time, you'll be able to enjoy the view. Just one more thing. Find a friend. Don't try to do this alone. Be accountable to somebody else who you trust and feel comfortable in talking about these things. Let them encourage you. If you are brave, Let them admonish you when you get it wrong, which you will. And let them pray for you, that you might be strengthened by God to do all of this. That kind of accountability is what will help you and each one of us stay on track. Paul wrote this letter with Silas and Timothy. He never travelled or worked alone. He did it with friends, with brothers in Christ. For it is together that we learn to follow Jesus more closely. It is together that we will learn to shine the light of Christ in the world as children of light. If any of us wants to live in this way, we will only do it better by doing it together. Find a person who you can journey with this stuff with. We're not called to live alone in our faith. We are called to live it out together. The process of sanctification is very rarely a moment where God zaps us and changes us in one go. It is a journey of a million little steps, of a million little decisions that we make every single day. And remember, if you want to travel quickly, travel alone. But if you want to travel a long distance, then travel together with others. This is not a letter written to one person in Thessalonica. This is a letter written to the sisters and brothers in Christ who together strive to live holy lives, who together want to share the gospel. And we are no different. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that in Jesus you have given us such an amazing example of how to live. You have given us someone who we can look up to and strive to be like. But Lord Jesus, I give you thanks that as I look around this room this morning, I am here with my sisters and brothers in Christ. I thank you for each one of them. Lord, I thank you that they are here this morning, some in the midst of joy, some in the midst of despair and loss, and many of us in between. But Lord, we pray that you would strengthen each one of us to live our lives for you, that we might more closely resemble the life of Jesus, that we would share that life together as your people in this place. And we pray, Lord God, that as we do that, we would see your kingdom grow. We would see our own lives and the lives of others transformed by your grace. And that your kingdom would come. We ask all of this not for our own sakes, but for the glory and praise of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.